starting that culture, I want to be kind to people. And there's some that think they're not creative, that they'll mess things up. I think everyone's creative and they just have to give themselves a chance. And so I want people to feel like they can come in and make a mistake or try something that they're making, and it's going to be beautiful.
Running a creative retail business really shouldn't be so hard. I'm Wendy Batten, and this is the Creative Shop Talk podcast.
Hey there, friends, and thanks for joining us for the Creative Shop Talk podcast. I am going to introduce you today to another successful retailer in our retail success series. Today, I want you to meet Jill Beam from Bed Springs and Burlap. Jill has been in my mastermind group and has attended retreats and in my inner circle for several years now, and I'm so proud of her, and her story is probably very familiar to a lot of you. So Jill started off as a hobbyist, a creative first, and just organically built her business, and it has been such a pleasure to watch Jill slowly gain the confidence to be the CEO, actually now running the creative business, and how she's gone through that journey. And she's going to share some great stories with you, some great inspiration. And I hope you love hearing Jill's story. She's such an inspiration, and it's such a joy to chat with her. So grab a coffee, listen up, let's meet Jill. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Creative Shop Talk podcast. I am so excited to introduce to you one of our retailers inside the inner circle. Jill has been in my mastermind group. She is also, we've had the opportunity to meet at my retailers retreat. I'm just so excited for you all to hear and meet Jill. Welcome, Jill.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It is so exciting. So Jill owns Bed Springs and Burlap, and I'm going to let her introduce a little bit about her shop. But I invited Jill here today because I'm so impressed with how she has created this great culture with her clients. She has just built, well, actually, okay, I'm going to joke, but before we jumped on here, she said, well, if I just build an event, they love to come. And that's not the case for everybody. So like, they just come to everything. So we kind of joke and say, if you build it, they will come. Normally, no, but Jill has built it and they are coming. And I wanted her to come in today to talk a little bit about that. I also want you to know that Jill has just done some big things over the last year. Well, last 18 months, I would say, to year, big changes and shifts. And as we're recording this, it's like, are we in the middle of the pandemic? I don't know what we're in. So it's October, and there's still issues with going through COVID and pandemic. And a lot of people think retail is, you know, independent retail is really struggling. And I'm watching retailers like Jill just thrive through this. So welcome, Jill, after all that.
Thank you.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about, can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your business, how long you've been in business, and the journey of how and why you've opened and how long you've been open?
Okay. I am Jill, and I own Bed Springs and Burlap, and I am located in Topeka, Kansas. And Bed Springs and Burlap has kind of evolved and changed with the times. It will mark my 8th birthday in November. So I first opened as a full-time teacher. Right now I'm a retired teacher, but for 4 years, my partner and I were full-time teachers, and we would open from 4 to 8 and on weekends and have classes and things. And it was just a very small store, like 600 square feet. And the reason that I even had this idea, I always, you know, dreamed of, I loved making things, but you can only make so many things for yourself and your family. And so I thought, wouldn't it be great to be able to sell stuff that I make? Well, I listened to Marian Parsons' blog, and she talked about mill paint. And I thought, well, this is kind of cool. I've never, you know, used paint on furniture. And so I ordered it and really liked it. And being off in the summers, I could go to estate sales and garage sales and find furniture and paint it. And people liked it. And so I started an Etsy shop. And so I sold some furniture and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is pretty cool. Then I was working on my daughter's a project for her to take to college and I ran out of paint. And I couldn't just jump in my car and go get it at a hardware store. And I just thought, you know, I want to sell this paint. Nobody's selling it in this town. And this is my chance. This is, you know, what I want to do. And I was looking at, retirement was within a few years. So I came in and messaged Marion and I said, I want to sell your paint. You know, I love it and it's not around here. And I thought, oh, she'll never answer me back. But she did. She messaged me and she said, we'll work with you. If you can find a brick and mortar spot, then, you know, you can sell the paint. And so it's kind of started from there. And I had another teacher friend that I was like, what do you think about doing this? And she's like, yes, you know, let's do it. And so that's kind of where it all started. And the first year, like I said, it was very small and we were open limited hours. And we put every bit of money that we earned back into the store. We, you know, bought things with our own money. So it was bootstrapping, basically. We took a class that was so useful, and it wasn't on business. It was on your mindset, basically. And I believe that's the most important thing, is just having a good mindset and thinking, you know, outside the box and trying different ideas. So then we moved from, after the first year, 600 square foot to about double that, 1200 square foot. And we had a really big classroom area. And so our classes really were going well. And then it just kind of seemed like several places around town popped up. And it, you know, the location was kind of off by itself. And so then my original partner decided she didn't want to do it anymore. So I was on my own for a little bit. And then I got another partner and we worked very well together. But with family issues, she had to get out of it about a year ago. It was a year ago in October. And I think I had the worst summer last summer. It was really bad. Sales were really bad. And I think a lot of people had bad summers last year. And I just thought, you know, I have got to make some decisions. Either I close for good and just do things online, or I move, find a different location. So I looked around town and I found a spot, and it was the grossest spot ever. It was an old restaurant, and it had black ceilings and purple walls. And at first, when I went in there, I'm like, oh, no way. And then I just kind of started thinking, you know, how you get in your head, this might be okay if this is this way. And at the time, it has a kitchen, and I had a person on board to go in with me and bake cookies, and that was all great. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to sign the lease. And then that didn't work out with the baker. And you know what? It's okay, because now I use that space for other things. So I sell the paint. I sell furniture, some painted, some not. I have DIY products and I have a laser cutter. So I offer classes with laser cut items, which I think really is something you've got to do to expand, because people can just do so many signs, so many, you know, around the house. And I think they're looking for different options. And I feel like with the laser cutter, things just keep moving and changing to all these different options, which is fun. And I just started sublimating shirts. So We have a variety of things.
You do. So just to back up a little tiny bit, I mean, your journey is very similar to 99% of the retailers that that we work with or that are inside our groups and that are probably listening, as far as we call it accidental entrepreneur, really taking your passion, because I know you had a passion to paint. I love that, you know, you just went to estate sales and bought it. And that's how a lot of us start. That's how I started. The funny part is when you said you called Marion and she said, yeah. And then you're like, oh, now I have to, go ahead. So I started as well. First time I met Marion, I had no thoughts of opening a retail business. And then Marion, I loved her paint, the same, very similar journey, but she said, you know, you should sell my paint. And I was like, really? I don't know if you know, that's how I started as well too, way back in the day, just because Marion mentioned it, you know, so kind of bootstrapping, the word bootstrap, we throw around a lot, which is great, you know, building it up, but you know, it's learning things. And I consider you an excellent, like you learn and implement. So taking the mindset piece is so huge. I love that you shared that. The mindset of like thinking you, first of all, you can do it, and thinking like a business owner. I was privileged to, I feel like, watch you evolve from a hobbyist to a CEO, like literally, like almost not overnight, but I really feel like, I don't know if I want to share the story about the retreat, but honestly, you said, I am the CEO. Like I am, you know, we had a conversation about thinking of ourselves like the boss, and you are definitely, you definitely think like a CEO. You are marketing mindset, but always with the customer in mind, which, because sometimes people hear CEO or they hear, you know, CEO mindset, or they hear business mindset, and it's always from the heart with you and with a lot of our retailers. But I've watched you evolve thinking about your people, like thinking about what they need, also what you need. But a couple of things I'd love for you to share, if you don't mind. You went through the partnership thing, like you were, I think at first you were like not really like legal partners, but it was just kind of two friends, right, starting out. And that's how a lot of people start. You formalized that relationship at one point in time to like make it legal. And because as your business grows, we have to take, you know, precautions and change things. Yes. And you guys were growing and your business was growing. Can you touch just a little bit on, and I do know like your partnership has since dissolved, as you've mentioned, because of your partner's needs. But can you mention, just touch us a little bit about that, about formalizing that? Just because I think there's a lot of people out there, oh, I'm going to get my friend and we're going to like start a business and we're going to, and it's not quite as easy as that. And I just love to touch a little bit about that, if you don't mind. I didn't tell you I was going to ask that question. Sorry. But
well, I guess since I've done this twice, you know, with the original partner, and we did have everything in place, which was good. And when it came time to work out how she would leave and how I would continue, you know, it worked out well. We did, you know, we had an attorney look at our agreement, and there are things that I didn't realize, but you learn along the way. You have to, with our states, you're registered, and then you have to get that person's name off. And so there are the legal things to it. And, you know, you want to hope that you leave I remember you saying it's like a divorce.
Yeah.
And it is. I mean, and there were some things that happened that maybe weren't the best things, but you just have to continue on. And I felt like, I mean, I immediately felt like I needed help, like I couldn't do it myself. Really, truthfully, my husband didn't want me to have a partner, but I felt like I can't do this myself, you know? And so I had a friend who was very interested and loved doing all the stuff. She would come and paint her furniture at the store and just had a good time and help me window decorate and things like that. So we jumped into the partnership and things were really good. But then she had some family issues that were really serious that she needed to devote her time to her family. And I just decided, I'm not doing this again.
Well, I think you decide, I remember you saying, I can do this by myself, which
yeah, I'm
doing very well.
Yeah. And that's not saying that I don't have help, because I do.
Yes. We all need help. No one does this alone. Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, I do pay someone 3 hours a week to run the store, which, you know, that's why I'm off today and have some time at home, because she opens up the store and then I can stay home and do my cutting and CEO work and things like that. But I also have friends that I've made who help me a whole lot, and they just do it because they want to help.
So let's talk about that. So a note on the partnership thing. So my advice is always to my retailers to make sure everything is legal before you jump into any kind of partnership. And I know that we had those conversations before you made it legal. Mm-hmm. And honestly, that makes it easier to get divorced at the end, because yeah. There's always, whenever there's money and feelings involved, there's always tension, no matter how great of friends, no matter whether it's your sister, your mother. I always say, have it in writing. I've personally seen like lots of partnership breakups. And of course, when it's an emotional thing, like running a business, like running a creative business, we're not running Targets, you know, we're not like CEOs, right. You know, we are running heart-centered creative businesses. So, you know, the people that we surround ourselves with are usually, you know, we're not going into partnership with kind of strangers. We're going into partnerships with people we really love and care for. So, so thank you for sharing that, because I think it's an important thing. And it comes up a lot. The question comes up a lot to me, or comes into me a lot from retailers, like, oh, I'm just going to jump into friendship. So I love that you really took action. You made everything legal. You had your attorney. And I know there's a little bit of investment, and it's also awkward, right? Like, I did the same thing when I franchised my business with my best friend, you know, you know, we made everything legal and legalized, and but it's okay. We always say, you know, it's protection for both of you at the end. So, so thank you for sharing that. And so moving into, so the next thing I love chatting with you about this. I can't wait to share this with people. You've created such a culture of community inside your business with your DIYers, and your, you know, they're not just regulars. Like, yeah. They are regulars, but you have like regulars, but they care so deeply about you that these are the people that you're talking about that help you. And yeah. I think one time we jumped on Zoom and they were all there waving, and they're all like trying to get you to leave, to go home and take a break. And like, Jill, you have created this amazing community of customers that have become, I don't even know like what the word is. They're so committed to you. Do you want to speak a little bit to those, to how you did that, or how that evolved, and how they are helping you through all this crazy time? Because it's been really, really awesome to watch you do that.
Well, thank you. And they have become friends. They are friends.
Yeah.
And they've seen me go through my hard times. And, really, honestly, I think there's several people who they really don't have other interests or options to go and do things, especially now with the pandemic going on. And they feel safe where, you know, in my little area. And so starting that culture, I guess it comes from being a teacher for 30 some years. Yeah. I want to be kind to people and make them feel comfortable. I like to always have a candle going and make it smell good. And I was offering coffee for a while, but, you know, just come and have a cup of coffee and come and chat. And, so that's the main thing, is I want people to feel comfortable. And not a lot of people, there's some that think they're not creative, and that they'll mess things up. And, you know, I think everyone's creative and they just have to give themselves a chance. And so I want people to feel like they can come in and make a mistake, or or try something that they're making, and it's going to be beautiful, you know, no matter what. So I just like people to feel like they are part of the store, that it's theirs also. And I'm, you know, when I was thinking about moving, I had people say, we will help you in any way we can, you know, and I did. I had friends, customers come and help me move. They packed me and loaded the truck and helped me move and then put everything together at the new store. So I couldn't have done it without their help. And now I feel like, you know, they feel like it's their place, which it is, you know. So I just want everyone to feel comfortable there.
Right. So it has been really incredible. So Jill's inside the mastermind group. So we've been talking a lot of about the pandemic and going through like we went through the really hard times together, and Jill was moving and, you know, all the things were still happening. And it was just so great to see and hear how your community, but on the flip side of that, a lot of people are like, oh, that's great. You know, you're building almost like I feel like it's almost like the old fashioned community. People are just craving that. I think that is, and I think that's just growing, and that's what makes us stand out as, you know, from the big box, from the everyday. And you excel at it. You're very, very good at it. And you've built this community, but they're also, you know, there's also that community. They're all, you're also thriving business-wise. Like, you know, they're not just coming to hang out and have coffee, I guess is what I want to say. I want to encourage people, like Jill has created paint clubs and like creative clubs with them. And like, so, you know, they pay for a membership, you know, or to be part of this community. Also they, you know, they're not the only ones, the other customers that come in see this. I mean, you're just a going concern right now. Plus, so on the community thing, you've just got wrapped right up, but you're listening to them, to what they want. So again, back to when you said, you know, you have your machine and you're doing what they want. Like, you know, it's like we're doing, yeah. I know that sounds like crazy, right? We're doing what the customers want. Imagine that. But some of us don't. Some of us are like, oh, I think people would like this. Or I think you're asking them, you're doing, you're listening. Your t-shirts that you're making, I think was part, like they thought that would be a great idea. Like you're able to bounce ideas off them. And what would you guys, because you intimately know they're you too, right? Like they're women for the most part, probably a few lucky men, but you know, that again, just want to do something creative. That's where you started. You told us at the beginning, that's where you started. Right. I just want to do something creative and have some fun and, you know, meet some people and be part of a community. And, you know, and yet you're still getting paid to offer all that service. So I want people to understand that, you know, we're not just building rah-rah communities with, you know, we're building businesses with heart and soul and community. That's one of your big business values, is community and service. I mean, your teacher, I say that, I mean, I don't know that you've ever written that down, but I just, from knowing you for, you know, several years now, that's a big value to you. It's not all about how can I get money from my community. Like that's not where, you know, we don't start with that, but that's where, you know, we're making profits. Like you're doing you know, really well. Are you feeling good through the pandemic? So through the whole pandemic, the change, and by the way, the store was ugly when you showed pictures of that. It was like when you're creative and you can look past the ugly, because it's beautiful now. It's so funny, the difference, but
yeah, nasty.
It was nasty. Black. Why is this really, like, I have vision, and I even thought, I was like, oh man, she's got a lot going on here. But anyway, it's just funny. You know, so you've moved, your partnership changed, you moved, you made the decision to move. You work really hard with your revenue streams. You're very aware of adding additional revenue streams to keep things going. Like, in, you know, we're not just waiting for our community to serve. You know, you're doing other things, your t-shirts, and you're adding things on. Again, that CEO hat is firmly on with your heart and your values all in place too, right? So from looking like last year to this year, through this whole pandemic, are you feeling confident? How are things? Are you like, I mean, I know, can you share with everybody, you know, how life has changed since last year and how you're doing, like how things are going right now through this? Because I think it's inspiring and encouraging what you're doing.
You know, when I moved, the location is so much better. And things were really going good. I had a great couple months, and I call it the maker studio, because I invite other makers in to teach their skills so that I can offer my community a variety of things to do. And I had just had my ribbon cutting, official ribbon cutting with the Chamber of Commerce, and that was in February. And we had stuff planned for kids during spring break, and then everything happened. So, but you know, with the help of Wendy and the group, we came up with things that we could do to get through this. So the kits, I offered kits to people with my laser cutting capabilities, and they would come and pick them up off on the sidewalk. It was graduation time, and I offered graduation door hangers that were personalized, and that went really well. Paint sales, oh my goodness, that has gone through the roof. And I firmly believe that the brand, I mean, when you're looking at bringing in a brand, you've got to see how they market, what things are available for your marketing. That was the best choice I've made, because it has brought in people. People look me up, or they don't look me up. Sometimes they look the paint up, and then they find me and they're like, wow, I can't believe you're just right down the street. And then some other products too. It really, I've been doing well with the products, and I have people who want to spend money with me.
Right.
Because they want me to be there.
Yeah. You're attracting the right customer to your store. And it's your branding. I'm going to not correct you. You are right. You need to have a brand that has a good reputation and has good marketing, but you're so good at marketing yourself too. So they might find you from the brand, but then they jump on your brand, you know, on your Facebook page, and they see and they feel comfortable. And again, back to this whole community building that you're doing, you're really doing an amazing job at identifying. And it's so true. You're right. When we, like, it was kind of, there's been a lot of ups and downs. No one is going to say that none of us felt like not crawling back in bed during all of this over times, right? We had meetings and we'd be all like, you know, there was always, I feel like, somebody that was down and somebody was up and coming up with brainstorming ideas. I thought your idea of coming up with the graduation signs was brilliant. I mean, like, it's what do they need now? Like, you know, again, graduations were all canceled. Everything was, you know, going back, which is crazy. Like, if you're listening to this podcast, like 5 years from now, you'd be like, what do you mean? Like, you know what I mean? It's so, so funny. Right. But like, they're at the time, what do our customers need right now? And you were really quick and really quick to I'm not using the word pivot, because we all hate that word now, but we adjust and figure it out. So even though you didn't have foot traffic in your brand new, beautiful store, you ended up, and then when you did, were able to open up, your people, like Jill's people, could not wait till she opened that door. And I think, like, at first it was just a few makers that, you know, from your makers club you brought in, and then slowly went through. Right. So I could talk to you all day about the different ways that you've adjusted and adjusted to your customers' needs. And really, it's amazing watching you thrive through all this. And I am privileged to watch you do that. And I feel I'm so privileged to have you inside our mastermind group. I just love it in the inner circle. I love watching you grow. And it's funny. One thing I'm just going to mention, just again, before we jumped on here, you said, back to this whole community building, Jill said, well, I just put an event up and they all come and buy. Like, so it's not that easy for everybody, but now you can see how she's built this community. So she's like, oh yeah, we just had an event. And of course, everybody showed up and everybody bought. And it's like, that's not always that easy for retailers, but now you can see why, you know, building a community is so important and serving what they need. And you do events, and, you know, you just did your t-shirt event, and you're just adding products and services that your customers love. So I'm so proud of you and so of everything you're doing. Okay. What's next for 2020? What are you most looking forward to? I don't know. Let's say over the next 6 months, the next two quarters, what are you most looking forward to?
I am looking forward to the holiday season. I think people need a reason to be excited. Yeah. And even if they're going to be small celebrations, and you still need pretty things to look at and fun things to make. So I feel like this year I'm kind of feeling a little proud of myself because I have been spending money on inventory pretty much up till now. It's all been like handmade things, which, you know, is unique and great. And I will still do that. But I've brought in a couple of lines with the help of the mastermind group. And I feel like I maybe need to fill some spots from stores that have had to close. And so I'm excited to offer new fun things to the people who come all the time. Yeah. So, you know, I feel like I owe them that.
Yeah. So again, look what you're saying, or listen to what Jill's saying. Like she said, I feel like I have to do that for them. Like, you know, they're, and you're filling niches for some of the decor shops that have closed in your area. And you know that people are looking for that stuff, right? So again, I totally agree with you on the holidays this year, I think are going to be good. And, you know, if you can get them all in one-stop shopping, you know, and serve them what they need so that they don't have to go other places and so that you make it easy for your customers. And then, you know, it's a win-win all the way around. So thanks, Jill. We always end the podcast asking what's some piece of advice that you've received or that you've been given or a mantra that you live by that you can share with the audience today. Is there anything you can share with us?
Well, you've given so much advice and have been so helpful. And I started out with the one-on-one coaching with you. And, you know, you pushed me into getting the laser cutter, I have to say, because I just felt like I love the wood cutouts and painting all those things that you can make. And I knew there was not one around this area. I think now there are quite a few, but so I feel like you have to do scary things to move forward. And if it doesn't work, you know, that's kind of a costly thing, but I mean, there are things that I've brought into the store that I thought were really cool and it's been a big flop. So, you know, you just move on and try something else. So, and I, you know, I've always felt like you need to dream big. And so if you have dreams, then follow them. You know, life is too short not to. So
that is great advice. That is great. It is true. We have to do the things that scare us a little bit, or sometimes the things that are give us the most joy or move the needle the most, right? So, and I hope I didn't talk you into it. I think way back then I was walking through the process of it, but you're right. No, if we make decisions,
talk to me. Yeah.
Yeah. We make decisions. just to clarify, Wendy does not talk people into things when she coaches people, but no, I know where your heart's from, because then, and that is true. We have to do scary things, because if we stay safe all the time, well, you never would have opened, you never would have moved. You never, you know, you would never have bought your laser cutter, which has been, you know, an incredible thing for you and your business. You're absolutely right. It's great advice. Do the scary things, push through the scary things. That's, and it's not always easy. I think, you know, whether it's a coach or a partner or a group or just your, you know, a business BFF, sometimes not necessarily the general public, because not just necessarily your neighbor next door or your girlfriend, but running those things through a filter of other people too is, you know, because really what's the worst thing that can happen is the question we ask ourselves. And I know you ask yourself that too. The worst thing you would have, it didn't work and you could sell it. Like, I think that was where we came down to, is like, we can get a divorce, right? Like, that's what we always joke about. Like, we can divorce from it, right? So it's, you're not permanently. So that's a great way to end, because I do think people need to do, we call them big, hard, scary things inside our group. Mm-hmm. So, and I've seen you do a lot of big, hard, scary things, and push through and do so well at it. So thank you, Jill. I will make sure that we have your information linked here. Anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
Just, your group is wonderful. You are wonderful. And I couldn't do it without you. And
thank you. This episode has been brought to you by, no, just kidding. But no, thank you. So I know it is. Thank you. It is a great group of people, the inner circle. And it is good to have a community. And so thank you. I appreciate that. And it's important to us to have you in there as well too. So Bed Springs and Burlap, I'm going to link Jill's website on the podcast notes, and we'll have all of the contact information so you can reach her and see what she's doing. And I urge you to go follow her, sign up for her newsletter because it's awesome. And also Jill has an online shop so you can see her cutouts and see the types of things that she's doing. And so I encourage you to go visit, poke around, see what she's doing, and follow along and say hi to her. I'm sure she would love to hear from you as well too. So thank you, Jill, for being here.
Thank you.
So appreciate it. I know everybody's so busy now. I'm trying to get interviews in before Q4 starts. Everybody's busy. So thank you so much, Jill.
Hey, thanks for joining me today. I know how precious your time is, and I'm so appreciate you taking time out of your crazy day to be here with us. All the links for today's show can be found at wendybatten.com/podcast. We'd also like to invite you to come over and continue the conversation over on my free Facebook group. It's called Rockstar Creatives. I'm going to be popping in there live every week to continue the conversation, talk a little bit about what we spoke about today. And I'd love for you to join us over there, Rockstar Creatives on Facebook. I'd also love to ask, if it's not too much trouble, if you could leave me a review and let me know what you think of the podcast. If you're loving the show, be sure that you're subscribing to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. I'd hate for you to miss one. It's been such a pleasure to be here with you today. I'll see you next week here on the Creative Shop Talk podcast.